Hello, and welcome to this service of worship for the fifth Sunday of Easter. My name is Suma Cohen, and I'm the minister of two churches in West London. It's good to be with you today. Let's worship God together.
Let us begin with our call to worship. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His steadfast love endures forever.
Open to me the gates of righteousness,
that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing.
It is marvellous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His steadfast love endures forever.
God of steadfast love, we praise you for your love poured out in creation, in the glorious diversity of creatures, in the splendour of the heavens and the fertility of the earth. We praise you for your love poured out in Jesus, in healing and teaching, in signs and wonders, in his humility and obedience, in his death and rising again. We praise you for your love poured out in the Spirit, inspiring and guiding, giving words and understanding, building community and renewing faith. We praise you for your love poured out on us, God our Creator, Redeemer and Spirit. In this time of worship, may we abide in your love.
Let us pray. Loving God, We confess that there are areas in our lives we would rather you did not see. The blighted patches that we hardly notice. The twisted thoughts that we have learned to live with. The fruitless stems of half-forgotten dreams. In your incisive mercy, prune us of our dead, diseased and damaged wood. Cut back our selfish growth. Clean us of unnecessary baggage. Heal our wounds and train our new shoots into shape so that we may grow again in health and strength and bear much fruit. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
May the light of Scripture open our eyes. May the words of Scripture stir in our hearts. And may the truth of Scripture fill our lives. Amen.
Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south of the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked, "About whom, may I ask, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak and started with this scripture. He proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, it's water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself as a Azotus, and he was passing through this region, and he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea.
Chapter 15, verses 1-8. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Amen."
We have a ceramic biscuit jar at home, which we've repaired many times. This is not kintsugi, this is just clumsiness. It's a square shape and we keep knocking the corners off. But it was a present and we're rather fond of it, so we want to keep it going. The glue we use is a two-part epoxy resin because it's strong and because it's also waterproof, so we can wash the jar. It takes a bit of wet work. You have to make sure the surfaces are clean and dry, as with any glue. But then you have to mix two equal parts of the two components of the glue and spread a thin layer of the mixed glue onto each of the surfaces. And then you leave them a little bit and bring them together. When they come together, the bond is almost instant. You hold them for about 4 minutes until the glue's set. And then in another couple of hours, that it's completely hardened and reaches full strength. So the actual sticking is quite quick. It's the preparation that takes the time and trouble. And I'm saying this because I was reminded of it when I looked at the reading from Acts about Philip and the Ethiopian official. Their mutual trust seemed immediate. They hit it off straight away. But that meeting didn't come from nowhere. God has been at work doing the preparation well in advance. God has been at work in Philip, possibly not for very long. Philip is one of the growing Christian community in Jerusalem, and that community is still in its early days, but certainly in depth. Philip is already recognized by the others as a man of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. When the apostles ask the community to nominate 7 people to help with the practical tasks of leadership, Philip is one of the 7 who are chosen. He doesn't do that task for very long. Another one of the 7 is Stephen, a gifted preacher. Stephen's preaching so upsets the authorities that they stone him to death and instigate a severe persecution against the whole community. The apostles stay in Jerusalem, but most of the others are scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. If persecution was meant to silence the gospel, then it manifestly failed because, of course, they all start speaking wherever they are. Philip goes to Samaria, and it turns out that he, like Stephen, is a charismatic preacher, and he's soon attracting big crowds. So God is at work in Philip. Meanwhile, God is also at work in the Ethiopian. This man is wealthy and privileged. As a court official of the Queen of Ethiopia, he's in charge of the whole treasury. He has his own chariot and can afford to travel. We also know from his actions that he is a God-fearing man. He's just made a real pilgrimage of faith, all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. In ancient geography, Ethiopia is an area in today's northern Sudan, but it's still an awful long way to go by unsprung chariot, He's gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he's now on his way home and reading from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, possibly one that he's bought while he was there at considerable expense. This is a man who takes his religion seriously. As a Gentile and a eunuch, he's probably always going to be an outsider. But there's no question that God is at work in him. So here are two prepared people, like our two prepared services. And God carries on the process. The Holy Spirit prompts Philip to leave Samaria and travel south towards the Jerusalem to Gaza road, which runs east-west, the very road that the official is travelling on to get home, via Gaza and then through Egypt. The Spirit's timing is such that Philip arrives at that road at exactly the moment that the official is going past, and Philip's able to see him reading this scroll out loud and to go over and ask if he can help. But imagine the excitement of this meeting. Here's Philip seeing an important foreign official, and he's reading our scriptures. And here's the official seeing a local man, and he's just the person to help me make sense of my new book. The bond is instant. And within 4 minutes, I'm guessing, Philip is invited into the chariot so that they can continue and deepen the conversation. And within 2 hours, again at a guess, they've found water and the official has been baptized. Now, if the story ended there, my illustration of the biscuit jar would work really well. Philip and the official would form a lasting friendship, just as I hope the join on my biscuit jar will stick for good. But the story doesn't end there. As soon as the baptism is complete, we're told, Philip is whisked off to Azotus, and the Ethiopian goes home, and they never meet again. So it becomes clear that God has not been preparing Philip for this one meeting with this one person on this one occasion. God has been preparing Philip to respond to God, to do God's work in whatever way is needed or appropriate. So I kind of need to set that illustration to one side and look for a better image for God's preparation. Happily, we have just such an image in our second reading from the Gospel of John. Here's Jesus speaking to his disciples on the night of the Last Supper, preparing them to deal with his death and to learn to manage on their own. Jesus uses the image of a grapevine, a rather more beautiful image than a broken biscuit jar, as well as more apt. We can only live and flourish and bear fruit for God, Jesus says, if we remain connected to him as the true vine, if we abide in him. In order to remain connected, we also have to remain healthy. Jesus talks of love, but also of pruning, cleaning, discarding, and even burning. Gardeners among us will know that if a plant gets diseased, you have to cut out the damaged part, and that often means cutting into the clean tissue too to make sure you've got it all out. And sometimes that means cutting back quite hard. Pruning for us might come through the circumstances of life, through bereavement or illness or maybe a change of job, or through a conscious choice on our part. For some of us, God's pruning might mean cutting out habits that have become comfortable or even comforting, but which no longer serve us as whole people. For some, it may mean refusing to listen to those voices, internal and external, that try and tell us we're not good enough or that we're not worth it. For some, it might mean letting go of a role that we've been called to and that we have fulfilled faithfully, as Philip had to do, in order for God to call us to something new. And for preachers among us, it might mean letting go of our favourite illustrations. It will be different for each of us, and it can sometimes be a painful process. The disciples must have felt, after the death of Jesus, that they had been put back right to the heartwood. How could they ever grow again from that? But having heard these words from Jesus before his death, they knew to hold on. And as the resurrection unfolds in their lives, they find new growth. And when Pentecost comes, they find growth in ways they had never imagined. We are not to shy away from pruning. It's God's way of keeping our connection to the vine healthy and clean. It allows the sap of God's love to flow freely through us, helping us to grow into the people God is calling us to be. It is our preparation, our being prepared, to bear much fruit in our own lives and in the lives of others. So may we continue to abide in God. May we accept our pruning with grace. And may we be ready, as Philip was, to do God's work in whatever way is needed or appropriate. Amen.
God of steadfast love, we thank you for your many gifts to us. We bring these gifts to you as a sign of our thanks. Accept and bless all that we bring and all that we are, and use us and our gifts to serve you in the world. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
God, who hears the cries of the poor, we pray for a world where everyone has enough to eat, a safe place to live, access to education and healthcare, and dignity and respect for who they are. Give us the courage to challenge the structures of inequality and to speak for those whose voices are silenced. God, whose word is to be preached to all nations, we pray for evangelists, teachers and preachers, for those reaching people in new ways and places, for those who take risks for the sake of the gospel. Inspire and uphold them, so that all they do is rooted in your love. God who plants, tends, and prunes, we pray for farmers and growers, that they may balance the drive to maximize crops with care for the long-term health of the earth, and that they may be properly paid for their work. God who commands us to love one another, help us to abide in your love and deepen ours, so that we may make this church a safe and welcoming place for all who are here and all who are yet to come. God, who cares for each one of us, we hold before you the people we know who are suffering in body, mind, and spirit. A period of silence here whilst we think of those people. Bring your comfort and healing to them and to those who care for them. We ask all these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Oh Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. Lord, be forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if you are by my side. No. See the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and within. Oh, Jesus, drown on error and shield my soul from sin. Oh, let me hear you speak. Above the storms of passion, the morals of self-will, oh, speak to me, assure me, to place in all control. Lord, speak and make me listen, O guardian of my soul. Oh Jesus, you have servant shall be true. As Jesus, I have promised to serve you till the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my master and my friend. Oh, give me grace to
May the love of God flow around us, among us, and through us. And may the blessing of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Spirit, be with us all this day and always. Amen.